As we look into the Word this morning, we're going to be looking at the power of a personal testimony. We're going to look at the Gospel of John as we've been doing, but we're going to do a review because we're going to be thinking in terms of the power of a personal testimony, the power of the impact that you have on somebody else's life. Every one of us lives our lives with influence around us. Every one of us rubs shoulder with other people. Everyone, even though you may be the most introverted person in this room, you have an influence on somebody else. And that influence can be a positive influence if the power of the Lord Jesus Christ shines through your life. I want to pause for a moment before we get into that. And I've been struggling all morning whether I should say something about this, but I'm going to do that as an introduction to the message this morning. And I'm going to do it also as a way of teaching, because God sends us things sometimes that are out of the ordinary, and we ought to use those moments to teach. And this morning I came in, and as I try to do on a regular basis, I went back to visit with the senior Bible class. And it's always fun to greet them in the morning. And they usually have some anecdote or some clever thing to tell me. And this morning they said, "Did you see the bones?" I said, "No, what bones?" They said, "There's a bunch of bones outside the back door of the church, right here by the glass door. Very strange. Bones sitting there. They've been picked clean. They're just sitting there." And so I took the time to walk over to that and to glance at it for a moment. Now, for most people in North America, that's just bones of a dog dragged there. And it may be just bones of a dog dragged there. But having come from a ministry in Brazil where Spiritism is so prevalent, and having a knowledge that our church has been under attack of the enemy, not from people, but from oppression from the enemy, immediately as I stood there and looked at that, I said, "That's a despacho." A despacho is a spiritist sacrifice that is put in a location with prayers and incantations as a curse against people. Now, I look at that and I say, that may be that. I don't know that it is, but it has all the evidence of being such. I'm going to say something else that always gets me in deep, deep trouble. I don't know what your feelings about Harry Potter is. Your feelings may be ambivalence, that it doesn't matter, it's just a kid's program. But I think it's part of Satan's desire to open Pandora's box of the occult. And I don't say don't go to it and all that stuff, but I think we need to be aware that there are things happening around us that we don't always understand. I want to take a moment this morning as we talk about the power of a personal testimony to pray. And this is a stab in the dark because I have no knowledge other than perception. If that bag of bones is by any chance a hoax from kids or teenagers, or a spiritist sacrifice, or a curse against this church, I am going to pray not against the curse, because it has no power over us, because we're covered by the blood of Jesus. But I want to pray for the person that put it there. Because I believe that Jesus wants that person to come to Him. Would you bow with me as we pray? Lord, I have no idea whether we're shooting in the dark, but I'm going to pray for whoever or whatever brought those bones there to intimidate, to curse, or as a hoax. And Lord, we know that Satan's power has no power over us unless we allow him to. And so we don't tremble in fear. Bones are bones. But Lord, we pray for the people or person that may have brought those there. And we pray, Lord Jesus, that you would powerfully, powerfully convict them of sin and righteousness and of judgment. And that they would be so frightened by the things that they're dabbling in, it would scare them to Jesus. And Father, if that's just something that a dog dragged there or somebody just threw there as a joke, we pray, Lord Jesus, for the situation in America today where a movie that promotes magic and the occult. It may entice young people in ways that shouldn't happen. And we ask that you would protect our young people and our children that might perchance see that movie, that they would not be impressed or enticed into it, but they will be driven back to the arms of Jesus. We thank you for this day and the day that we can call the Lord's Day, and for this place that we call the Lord's house. We lay hold of your promise, as you said, nothing shall by any means harm you. We thank you for that, but we ask for your mighty, mighty working to bring to light the hidden things of darkness and bring to Jesus those that walk in darkness. In Jesus' name, amen. Would all God's people say with me, amen. I hope you don't think me hokey or weird when those kinds of things happen. And I've been in other situations where I've taken the bold step of doing that and finding out later it was indeed that which we perceive. So let's continue to pray that God works in the hearts of people in this community. We're talking about the power of a personal testimony. And I'm not going to take one passage as such as our passage, but I want to review some of the things that Jesus went through. Jesus was about his Father's business. That became a prevalent theme throughout the Gospel of John. Always he was about his Father's business, which was to bring people to salvation. From verse 1 to the end of the book, that's what it's about. John writes to us, and in John chapter 20 and verse 31, he says, this is the reason I've written these things to you, that you might believe that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of the living God, and that believing you might have life in his name. So above all the books of the Bible, the Gospel of John is written that people might come to saving faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. And as we look through the Gospel, we will find that people all through were finding Jesus as their Savior. As our theme this morning being the power of a personal testimony, let me ask you a couple questions. How many people have you spoken to about Jesus Christ this week? I'm not asking for your hands, and I'm not interested in embarrassing anyone. How many people have you spoken to about Jesus Christ? How many people have you witnessed to and shared your personal testimony or opened Scripture with or even prayed with this week? Talking about unbelievers, people that don't know Christ. I would venture to guess that the predominant answer here this morning by most of us would be zero. I hope not. But in all likelihood, that's what it is in most churches. Let me ask you another question. How many people have you led to Christ this year? Or have you witnessed to and opened the gospel so that they would come to a place of deciding about whether to receive Christ or not? How many people have you done that with this year? We could see ourselves, we're standing there kind of doodling and saying, Lord, not many. And I want you to know that's witnessing or sharing Christ with people is a difficult task. It's not an easy thing to do. It's a scary thing to do. And if you don't like to talk, if you're not a people person, it's even harder. And so I understand where all of us are coming from on this. Some things are really tough. Or maybe you've had some bad experiences with it and you've given up. I remember my first hunting experience. I did not grow up in a hunting family. My dad got rid of his gun when I was about 9 years old. My mom was afraid he was going to shoot everybody in the house. So dad got rid of his gun and we didn't grow up hunting. But I married into a family. Marilyn's family are hunters. I mean, these guys are Daniel Boone and Davy Crockett and all that stuff. These guys are wild. I mean, her dad, I can't tell you about it, where he keeps his guns, but he's got guns galore. And I married into this family, and so the first conversation with father-in-law is, hey, do you hunt? Only when I'm typing. Hunting and pecking. So my first trip back out to Pennsylvania after getting married, and we moved out to Pennsylvania for our first ministry, my father-in-law said, why don't you come out and I'll show you how to hunt. So I got all ready, you know, I got the the uniform, you know, the glowing clothes that you have to wear. And it was really, really cold that winter. And so he told me, dress really warmly, put a couple layers of socks on, you know, wear these heavy boots, and I'll give you my gun. Of course, I've never fired his gun before. But he gave me his gun, and just before we went out to the field, he said, this is how it worked. You know, you take the safety off, and you aim this thing in the right direction and pull the trigger. And then he took me out in the woods, and we walked for, oh, probably 2 miles back in the woods. It was dark. It was early in the morning. It was probably about 15 degrees. There was snow on the ground. And there were trees all around us, and then there were these piles of old coal from a strip job. And we marched back in there real quiet. And I get back there in the dark, and my father-in-law says, I want you to go to the top of this mound right here. It's called a slag pile. I want you to go to the top of a slag pile. I want you to stay there. And he says, don't move around, because the deer hear you. They'll smell you. Just don't move. Stand there. And when you see a deer, make sure it's got antlers. You know, stupid deer. Antlers. Then shoot at it. Aim the gun and shoot at it. So I took him at his word. I went up on a slag pile and I stood there with the gun over my arm and I stood there. Of course, I have my lunch in my pocket, and I stood there for an hour. I heard the banging and shooting around me and nothing. Every once in a while, a doe would run through and I get excited. No, not that one. And I stood there for 2 hours. I stood there for 3 hours. I stood there for 4 hours. I stood there for 5 hours. I stood there for 6 hours, 7 hours, 8 hours, 9 hours, 10 hours. And I didn't move. I may be stupid, but I'm obedient. And I stood there that whole time. Oh, man. This was real fun. I remember as I was standing out there, I watched a fox come through. Beautiful little fox came and stood down below my slag pile. And I thought, well, he didn't tell me if I could shoot a fox or not. So I just watched him. He walked away. You know, the day was finished and they came around to collect all the hunters. And my father-in-law came through and he said, are you still up there? Yes, you told me not to move. He said, I didn't mean not to move all day. Oh! So my first experience in hunting was miserable. I was frozen down to my bones. And based on that experience, if somebody invited me to go hunting again, I would have said, absolutely not. You're nuts. But I gave it another try and had good experiences in hunting during archery season. But some of us may be like that, where somebody has encouraged you to witness and share your faith with somebody else, and you found it bombed. It was terrible. You were nervous. You were scared. And you say, I'll never do that again. The message this morning is for you, to encourage you that God wants you to continue in that effort of bringing others to Christ. We're going to look at a couple passages this morning, the theme being the power of a personal testimony. I put some things on the overhead that you'll be hopefully able to follow along. But I want you to be able to understand that Jesus was about His Father's business, and He wanted His people to be about His Father's business. There were many people that came to Christ throughout the New Testament. There are three that really stand out to me before we go on to the next slide. And the three that stand out to me stand out because of what's stated about them. The first one is right in the middle of John, and that's John chapter 9. It's a blind man that is healed. The blind man is healed. Jesus touches his eyes. He was born blind and could never see the light of day. Jesus healed him instantaneously. He began to see, and it must have been an amazing time for everyone to realize this guy had been blind. No one had ever healed a blind man before. This blind man, you would think that everybody in the community would have been excited and thrilled that he could see, but they weren't. You see, the Pharisees, the religious people, got upset by it because they didn't get any credit for it. And they didn't want Jesus doing miracles, especially not on the Sabbath day. And so they got all bent out of shape, and they took this guy and they interrogated him once, then they interrogated him twice, and then they interrogated him three times. And three times they ripped him over the coals and tried to tear to shreds his personal testimony. And finally, as he sums it all up in verse 25, he looks at them and he knows they're not going to believe no matter what I say. And he concludes his testimony. He says, whether this Jesus was a sinner or no, I don't know. One thing I know, that though I was blind, now I can see. The power of a personal testimony. I mean, that stumps everybody. I don't know this Jesus. I don't know much about Him. I haven't taken a course in evangelism, and I don't know how to preach a sermon. But one thing I know that you can't contradict and you can't stump me on, and that is once I was blind and now I see. That ought to be the testimony of every one of us. Though you've never taken a course on evangelism, you've never taken a course on preaching, you may be scared to death to talk to your friend next to you, let alone witness to a stranger. And Jesus says there's something that no one can contradict, and that's your personal experience of receiving Christ as your Savior. Once you were blind, and now you see. There's a second story, and that's found in John chapter 4. And that's where Jesus met a woman at the well. She was a Samaritan woman. Forbidden people. They were half-breeds, and nobody had anything to do with them. But Jesus approached that woman. As He shared faith with her, showed her the way of salvation, she came to know Jesus Christ as her Savior. Then she ran off and got her friends and brought her friends back, and they gave a testimony at the end of this time in chapter 4 and verse 42. And this is the testimony that they gave. John chapter 4 and verse 42. Now we believe, not because of what you said, for we ourselves have heard Him, and we know that this is indeed the Christ, the Savior of the world. Here's another occasion in which somebody comes to Christ and then leads other people to Jesus, and these people say, well, it's not just because of your testimony that I'm believing, but it's because I've experienced Jesus Christ myself. I've heard His Word, and I've believed in Him. The third one I would mention is Lazarus. Lazarus was raised from the dead. Another mighty miracle. Nobody had ever done that before, especially a guy that's been in the grave 4 days. Lazarus was raised from the dead, and in John chapter 12, we read that there's a dinner at his house, and the Scripture says a lot of people were there. Many people were there not so much because of Jesus, but they were there because of Lazarus, because they wanted to see him. Verses 9 and 10 of chapter 12 say, "And now a great many of the Jews knew that he was there, and they came out, not for Jesus' sake only, but that they might see Lazarus, whom he had raised from the dead." Verse 11, "Because on account of him, many of the Jews went away and believed." I want to help you understand this morning some truth that I've discovered as I've read through the Gospel of John. Next slide. And that is that people come to Christ for various reasons. People come to Christ for various reasons. As I study the passages in the Gospel of John, I find that people have come to Christ for three basic reasons. One, personal encounter. They met someone, or they met Jesus personally. Two, they experienced miracles or healings from Jesus. And the third is that they had heard a sermon or a teaching about Jesus. Now, each of those, it's interesting that John points out seven personal encounters with the Lord Jesus Christ, then seven miracles or healings that were done, and then seven sermons and teaching. Let me run you through those real quick. Seven personal encounters. Jesus had personal encounters with people where He brought them to salvation. The first one was Jesus meets Andrew. And then Andrew grabbed his brother Peter and brought him to Jesus, and they came to know Jesus Christ as Savior. It was a personal encounter that brought somebody to Jesus. Secondly, it was Philip. Philip looked for his friend Nathanael and brought him to Jesus. Again, it was a personal encounter. Then we see Jesus meets Nicodemus. Nicodemus sought to speak with Jesus at night in secret. And he met with the Lord Jesus, and there Jesus spoke to him and we think maybe led him to faith in Jesus Christ. The next one is Jesus meets a Samaritan woman. We've already talked about that. Jesus met this woman and personally evangelized or witnessed to her. Then there's the adulterous woman. Remember the adulterous woman that everybody was going to throw stones at? She met Jesus personally and stood before Him alone. In that moment, she came to faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. Then the blind man that we spoke of, he came to faith in Christ when Jesus came to him after the healing, and he trusted Christ as his Savior. And finally, we see Lazarus as the example of a person that encountered the Lord Jesus Christ. You see, John lays before us all these personal encounters. No other gospel has so many personal references to people, individuals, and their names, and their situations. See, John is building a foundation for us to understand that God wants each of us to have encounters with others whereby they come to know the Lord Jesus Christ too. We are God's messengers. We are God's bridge to the Lord Jesus Christ to many people. Think a moment. How did you come to know Christ as your Savior? Were you just walking along the street one day and suddenly Jesus appeared to you and said, "Believe on me"? It's a rare occasion when that happens in Scripture. It happened to Saul, who later became Paul, on the road to Damascus. But it doesn't happen to everybody. Most people have an encounter with Jesus because they have an encounter with somebody that knows Him. You probably came to know Christ because of someone else that knew Him and brought you to Jesus.